Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 329th episode of Constructed Criticism. I'm your host, Mason, and I'm joined by my co-host, third place in the PT2, Allie. Allison Warfield, congratulations. I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you. You make it sound like I am not here every week.
I noticed I did that. I don't know how to stop. I'm trying to, like, make it not like that. But at this point, I don't know why I keep doing it. And I haven't had this problem before. Like, I don't know why I keep doing that. And I catch myself, like, after I've done it every time. And I don't understand, like, why I do that. I just don't know. I guess I can't believe it that I'm so lucky to have you on the podcast every week. It's like a treat, you know?
Oh, shush. No, you.
No, stop it. No, but how does it feel before, you know? Like, like, you have a PT top 8. Top 4, even.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's pretty unreal, right? It's nothing I ever expected to ever be a part of, honestly. Also qualified for the PT finals now, so that's going to be, like, a whole different mess of emotions, too. So, I'm just very grateful for every person and everything and I have in my life to get me to this point, and just the love and support is unreal.
Oh. Well, Allie, I'm not just saying this. I really do mean what I'm about to say here, and the fact that I love how humble you are when you're like, this is not something I ever thought would happen, when in your second PT you almost made top 8 at MC7. So I totally thought this was possible, and I was so, so excited when I woke up and I saw your tweet of like 2 more. I hopped on your stream, you won like a turn later or whatever, or I turned on the main stream and you were there and you won like a turn later, and I was like, oh my goodness, it's about to happen. And so I'm so happy for you. I can't wait to see you crush the PT finals and more PTs going forward.
That is the dream. keep on keeping on, I guess.
Yep. Before we go any further, though, you will notice that last week we didn't have an episode. The entire network actually took the week off beforehand as a protest / stand of solidarity with Black Lives Matter. And we had actually came out so early because of the BNR situation that we felt it was weird for us to, like, partake in that, and then we didn't really like actually do it, so we staggered ours by a week, and that's why we're here. And we're also here to totally mention that this is a thing that's going to last like a really long time. Unfortunately, it's sadly not something that we can fix in a short period of time, and that this is something that we just have to keep in our minds constantly going forward. And there's going to be some return to normalcy, but we can't give up fighting that fight and doing the things for them and LGBTQ rights and all that sort of stuff. And so we just want to emphasize that here, because those things are still going on. And even though it seems like people are moving on and trying to get back to their daily lives, this is still something that's very important. And we can't let that fire sort of go out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Feel free to edit out my rage, but I got to rant on stream today because someone redeemed the rant part of my channel points on Twitch. But now I just really feel like saying it even more because it was very cathartic. I think there's a lot of people who are upset right now, specifically like in the magic scene, and I think there's a lot of validity to that. But I'm really just like sick of it and don't want to see it unless you are also posting about Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ rights. Like your complaints on magic related fronts can be valid, but there are real things going on and Black Lives Matter a lot more than your card game.
Yeah, very much agree. Yeah. You know, yeah, nothing else needs to be said. Yeah. Stand wholeheartedly with that. And with that, and keeping that in mind going forward as well, let's move on to always improving. Allie, how did you always improve this week?
By not registering the deck I wrote my article about.
I was going to say, I thought you wrote about Jund, and I remember even, because everyone was talking about how the format was like Theros, basically, with like Shark Typhoon and like Trilands, and that's the format now. And in my head, I was like, Allie's going to play Jund at the Pro Tour. Like, she was... talking about that so much and how she like broke it and then, you know, the format changed. So what changed? How did you get there to, you know, end up playing Team Iraq?
Yeah, I mean, in my defense, I would not have let them publish my article if I still didn't believe that Jund sacrifice slash Rakdos sacrifice, I wrote about both of them actually, were both like really good choices. Obviously we saw
we saw Eli Loveman make the top 8 of your PT2 with Rakdos, and we saw Jund be the second best deck in the weekend performance wise.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of Jund. I'm pretty sure there were two other Jund decks in my PT top 8 along with Eli Loveman on Raksac. And then I think less in PT1. I think PT1 was still very much dominated by Team Iraq, but like PT2 was a lot more like diverse and spread out.
Yeah.
At least in comparison to PT1.
Yeah, the old 6-teamer 2-bant versus 4-teamer.
Yeah. I think just like with streaming, at least a lot more than just like being in my like secluded little like testing area, I have more access to just like natural shifts in the meta, I guess. So I mean, like if people are shifting to Sultai, which they were, and that was just like a logical continuation of trying to beat Jund and Bant, there just has to be like some amount of evolution. Like if people on the ladder can figure that out, of course the people who are going to play at the PT are going to figure that out too. So I expected less Bant and more Sultai, which is not exactly where you want to be with the sacrifice decks, at least like Jund. Like Jund, you want a ton of Bant. There was just like no Bant to be seen. I didn't play it that weekend at all. I did not see Bant. So I took the risk of moving to Team Iraq, expecting not a lot of Bant. Did not see Bant, so was not punished. And then I ended up seeing, I beat like every sacrifice deck I played against, which was except one in round two. But I think I like mostly saw sacrifice. Maybe like sacrifice, the combined two sacrifice decks were equal to how many Team Erect decks I saw. But I mean, that's like, I definitely wanted to see Jund because that was a good matchup. I definitely wanted to see Raksac. I was more comfortable seeing Sultai as Team Erect than Jund, so it ended up working out.
Yeah, so it's funny. We mentioned how I logged on and I like saw your thing, and then I watched obviously your top 8 performance as well on your Twitch channel. I was so happy when I turned it on and saw you were playing in Sultai, because my experience has been that like while yes they can beat you as teamer, you're just so good against them. And then when I saw you were in top 8 against Sultai, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for Adley.
It was the same person I beat in the Swiss too. I was like a little nervous because I got really lucky against him in the Swiss. Just like some really good top decks to end the game. I think I was still ahead in both of my matches, but definitely had some amount of luck play into that.
For sure.
But then actually in the quarterfinals, I think I just like played really well. So that ended up being okay as well.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that. I was talking to someone else, and I said, Sultai is a deck that doesn't allow you to get lucky when I was talking about it. It just has, like, not enough good cards, in my opinion. And I think that's a powerful thing. Like, you know, a deck that can top deck expansion enclosure and hit them for 20, it's a real thing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's awesome. And I did want to mention one thing you kind of mentioned at the start of that, you know, where you said, like, I wouldn't have posted the article if I didn't think it was legit. And I think something that sometimes people forget is that, like, you write those articles ahead of time, and then they get, like, you know, edited, and you have, like, a day they're going to go up or whatever. And so I honestly believe that 99.9% of content creators are posting what they legitimately think are the best decks at that moment. And sometimes, just like you said, something shifts on a dime, and it's like, hey, Sultai wins his LCQ, gets second on Mythic, and people are playing it all over the place. And it's, like, really scary to see that happen and then be like, am I really going to register the deck that like always gets 6-for-1 by Casualties of War? I'm Allie Warfield. I can't have that happen to me. And so you switch to a different deck, you know? And I mean that seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My always improving moment this week was really working on being honest with myself about stuff. So I've been practicing for the PT a lot. I'm actually playing the PT this Saturday as opposed to the one that you played last Saturday. And if you don't know, there's like four PTs going on during this block. It's a really weird time. And so...
which one are you doing?
Saturday morning. Yeah. I'm doing the last PT. I'm going to sneak it in. Last second. Yeah, I unfortunately I've started work full time again now. And so if I like did well on the Friday one, it would be going until like 4 a.m. or whatever after working all day. And I was just like, all right, well, I'm going to like just do the Saturday one and wake up early and, you know, get my coffee and do my thing. And so we'll do the best we can. But my most important was, though, trying to work on being honest with myself about things. And that came up in a bunch of different ways, and one of the ways was like, hey, I know that there's like, I would have this internal feel like I need to be playing Magic right now, but I kept even telling myself like the Pro Tour is going to define so much of what happens. Like if Sultai had been the most dominant deck at the Pro Tour by a lot, it could invalidate everything I was doing. And so it was reasonable to dedicate a normal amount of time to it, but I need to be honest with myself that like this isn't going to be efficient, this isn't going to be helpful, and part of, I just need to like push that aside, and it's okay to relax and then be like, all right, I'm like doing this other thing and it's okay that I'm doing something that isn't Magic related right now, because if I were to spend time on Magic right now, I just wouldn't be getting enough out of it. And just being honest with myself and forgiving, I guess, is another way of saying it, because I feel like, I don't know how you feel about this for your first Pro Tour, Ali, but it feels like this is like, you know, your first one, you spent so much time trying to get here. And then it's like coming up and it's like, I don't want to blow this opportunity, you know? Being totally honest, I would love to top 8 my first Pro Tour. You only get one shot at joining that club, Allie, and I want to do it. So, you know, but yeah, that was my thing. Did you feel that way going into your first Pro Tour?
I don't know. I feel like for my first Pro Tour, because that one involved limited, I kind of set some like more realistic expectations for myself, because I had never really played limited in my life, so didn't really expect to do too well. But so I set the goals of at least winning one match in limited, and I did do that. Nice. In both my day one and two of my first, I guess, MC Richmond. It was also MC Oko, which sucks.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting MC to have that be your first one. Yeah. Also, I don't think I'm going to top 8. I know that in my heart of hearts, that would be such a cool thing, an awesome thing, and I want that. Even though I know it's super unlikely, that I just, you know, sometimes it gets the better of you. You know, your eyes get bigger than your belly. So, yeah. But that was my always improving moment for the week. If you want to support the show, you can go to our sponsor, Oasis Games, and use code CCMTG to get 4% off every order, and use code WouldThatBeGood to get 15% off your first order as a way to, you know, try and get cards and get ready for the eventual, hopefully, reopening one day soon. Another way to support us is go to patreon.com/CCMTG. One of the perks of becoming a patron, Allie, is you get to ask questions like this one. This one comes in from Ellison and says, what card are you most excited to play with in M21? And I'm going to throw the ball to you first, Allie, since you're our Pro Tour top 4. I'm going to bring it up a lot. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, you're sweet. I actually did a set review today for the first time on my stream and was very overwhelmed by how much talking it is. Mm-hmm. And actually how much I learned about just kind of like the feel for the set and what limit is going to look like, because I usually just like never read every single card in the set like ever.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little intimidating. Oh my gosh, how did I, the full set review did not have the cat dog.
Oh, because it's a box topper.
Oh, what? I didn't get to spoil that. Oh. Or, like, review that. Darn.
You have to redo the whole thing, probably. That makes the most sense.
Whole new stream.
Yeah, it changes the context of everything, so.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm excited for a bunch of different things for different reasons. I think Containment Priest is probably one of, like, the best reprint they put into the set, just because it's adding that kind of effect to Pioneer and Modern, which was not previously done. I think Grim Tutor reprint is obviously just great money-wise. Maybe just the card that I'm most excited... new card I'm most excited to play with. Very excited by Stormwing Entity. I love Prowess. This card is sweet. It's 3 blue-blue. The spell costs 2 and a blue less to cast if you have cast an instant or sorcery spell this turn. So it costs 2 mana, essentially. It's Flying Prowess when it enters Scry 2, and it's a 3-3.
That card's sick.
This card's awesome. You can just, like, opt and then play this. That's it. That's all you do. You could, like, bolt your opponent and play this. Maybe it doesn't have, like, play outside of Standard, but this card is sweet, and I love Prowess.
You can Rift Bolt them. That's the thing I've heard in Modern. You set up for the old combo. Yeah, that card's so cool. That whole, there's some, like a mini cycle of, like, blue-red creatures that cost less by, like, doing damage via instant and sorceries. Like the red 6/6 one. Those are really cool and really interesting designs, in my opinion. My card that I'm most excited about is Baron Talarian Archmage. So it's 1 blue-blue for a legendary creature, Human Wizard. And when Baron Talarian Archmage enters the battlefield, return up to one other target creature or planeswalker to its owner's hand. And at the beginning of your end step, if a permanent was put into your hand from the battlefield this turn, you draw a card. So it is, like, some people have called it, like, the third coming of the Reflector Mage. Like, first it was Reflector Mage and Teferi than this. And while I don't think it's as strong as those cards, it just seems really interesting to me, because one of the things that, like, Brazen Borrower can't do is that it, like, can't pick up your own stuff. And Baron allows you to, like, save your own things. And when you do save your own things from stuff, it actually generates you another card. So, like, it's like a weird counter spell, but also does that while also being flexible enough to, like, come into play, maybe unsummon an Embercleave or a big creature and then block another one. And it just seems like a really cool modal card that's going to do a lot of really awesome stuff and be kind of strong. And also has some really cool, like, hey, if you try to, like, pick up your own stuff and replay it for value, or just in general pick up your own stuff for whatever reason, Baron's going to reward you for, you know, by drawing extra cards and getting more value. So I think this Baron card looks really cool.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
I like... This set's just awesome. I'm very excited by the set.
Yeah, I'm super excited to do our Pick 2 set review next week. It's going to be so exciting. It feels like this set is just, like... I don't want to use the word perfect, but, like, it's perfect at, like, building the hype for me. You know, there's, like... enough reprints of things I know that are strong and cool, and I can't wait to see them in a new context, while also being, like, these really cool new cards that are exciting and these really evocative cards. Like, I think some of the design on some of these cards are just, like, insane, and they, like, the one I always talk about is the new Black Lore that -1/-1s all your opponent's creatures on the battlefield. And you could tell me that card's from Alpha, even though I know it's not, and I would believe you at first, because it just feels like a card that's been around in Magic, or maybe should have even been around forever, and I love that, so... I'm super excited.
Yeah, I think I'm very excited. Almost, like, relieved. This set almost seems like it's such, like, a lower power level than what we've been seeing, but, like, in a super good and refreshing way. Like, a lot of these cards are very good, but I don't, like, look at any of these. I'm like, shit, this is gonna cause a problem.
Yeah, there isn't one where it's just, like, you know, like, you could argue maybe Ugin, but besides that, like, the rest of them just are, like, totally answerable, and Ugin is 8 mana. You know, if we had a new Ugin at 4 mana that basically did the same thing, then that would be, like, what I'm used to recently.
Yeah, I was even, like, super scared about, like, the Teferi, and the Teferi is just, like, maybe annoying, but still fine.
Oh, yeah, that Teferi is so cool, right? It, like, promotes you to play all these different kind of things and play with the graveyard, and it's just unique. It's awesome. It's Teferi. It's the fairest of them all. Does that joke land on a scale of 1 to 10? What do you think?
I
I'm workshopping
understood it.
You understood it? Okay, that's like a 3. So I'm workshopping that one. That's a tweet in the making. You know, just sometimes you gotta play, you know, see how they work. But yeah, if you want to ask questions like that, you go to patreon.com and become a patron of the show. You also get access to Discord server where we'll post when we go live with stuff and other things and have interaction and conversation. You can talk to other people in the community. It's a pretty exciting thing. And well, we're going to have more stuff rolling out for the Patreon soon. We just need to kind of get the ball going with that. As you might imagine, with everything going on in the world, it has been not the toppest priority in the world to do that sort of thing. And we are sorry for that, but that stuff will be coming very, very relatively soon. All right, Allie, are you excited for this week's topic? It's learning from the arena PT.
Well, I did indeed play in this, and you are going to play in it too.
Yeah, I'm gonna play in the one this coming weekend, and so it's exciting. And I know a lot of our listeners are probably, I know a lot of people wanted to wait for the second batch of PTs to get this more information, especially if maybe you didn't have a big testing group or, you know, didn't have a lot of resources in that area. And so I'm sure a lot of people are listening or excited to learn. And I bet you they're really excited to learn from someone that top four'd it. So let's just kind of start off at the beginning. What was your process going to the event? You know, you mentioned earlier that when you wrote your article for TCG Player, you were looking towards the Rakdos Jund sacrifice area. How did you get started there? You talked about how you kind of switched over to Teemer near the end there, but what was the emphasis on starting at that point?
I think actually after the companions got eroded, I started off with Bant, actually, because I think the Bant Yorion deck just like largely stays the same and is still really solid. Mm-hmm. I do think a couple people in PT1, and I know Jess was a proponent of switching to adding like Nissa Who Shakes the World and going back to Hydroid Crisis, and I think that's a very good build of it, but I still just like didn't like the gameplay of Bant, so I'm like, oh, all right, like, if everyone's playing Bant, the next like logical step for me is to go to Jund Sacrifice. And then that was doing well for like a really long time. I was just breezing through a lot of my matches, so I decided to write my article about Jund Sacrifice. I'm like, all right, this is great. And then just like as I kept streaming it throughout the week, it just felt like it was getting kind of like worse and worse. I was still like winning the games I was expecting to or hoping to, but then I would play against Team Iraq. I'm like, ah, oh, this matchup's bad. Or I would play against Sultai. I'm like, oh, this is worse than I thought it was. So I didn't really spend a whole lot of time practicing Teemer, but I have a lot of reps with like Wilderness Reclamation in general. And I have played Teemer in a couple of tournaments. So I kind of just relied on my existing knowledge there and a nice old sideboard guide from Seth Manfield.
Former co-host of the show, with their powers combined, we're getting the CC top 8s. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Jess there when you talk about how, you know, going through the beginning of the thought process, because like I said, I've been working on this the whole time and I've actually been working with Jess. We were playing Bant because we felt like Bant so strong, and then it was like, do we play 60 or 80 cards? And at first I was kind of leaning towards 80 because it felt like when you were playing, like we were just playing like mirrors and that kind of sort of thing, you just want to have more bombs, and the upside to playing the Yorion is like your ECDs are twice as many and you just fit more copies of the good cards, right? And you find them still pretty like an even amount ish and then I played versus other decks with Jess playing Bant and me playing 80 card Bant, and it was like, oh, we like can't just be this greedy. Like we can't be Yorioning. And then Jess continued down the Bant road, and then I switched off to Teemer because I felt like Teemer was doing the strongest stuff. And then at that point around like Wednesday or Thursday, I kind of lacked off things. So the right around the point when Sultai started popping up, I started slowing down because it's like, well, I really should like not burn myself out because, you know, I have 2 PTs worth of data to look at soon. So when talking about picking Bant, I'm sorry, when picking Teemer for the deck selection for the Pro Tour, Allie, did you land on Seth's deck because you liked the way he had it configured, or were you just kind of a thing where it's like, okay, I know I want to be playing Teemer, who's like the best player I can get a teamer list from. Like, how did you land on that 75 of teamer?
Yeah, I think it was mostly just respecting the authority behind Seth Manfield and the teamer decks. I, to my knowledge, didn't see Leverado post an updated list or anything, because I would obviously follow suit there as well. But Seth Manfield had the most readily available sideboard guide, because I definitely didn't do a ton of testing with Teamer Rec. So most updated list and sideboard guide, sign me up.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong with the Seth sideboard guide, right? Especially when you see how much hours he puts into all that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah, there's definitely like a handful. But I mean, like, the sideboard guide had like 3 matches on it, so I still had to do a ton of the work myself, like playing against any of the Rakdos sacrifice decks, because I played against a couple of those. I played against Sultai a handful of times, which that was not on there. Everything was like configured towards Bant, so I kind of had to figure that out myself. But just having a good basis and idea helped a lot.
Yeah, it's super helpful, right? Like, even if they don't give you the like other matchups, like, having that sort of knowledge can help you frame the other matchups, right? And especially, you know, with someone as good as you, you're able to like kind of know what matters anyways, and you can kind of figure out like maybe what was going on in Seth's head, even if his article didn't do that, or maybe they didn't even account for, you know, Sultai at the time and the way you were playing against it when that was written. But you can still kind of figure those sort of things out.
Yeah.
So we're going to be spending a little bit of time now talking about the 5/6 most represented decks going on in the Pro Tour. We're going to spend some time talking about what we think about those decks. So if you're playing an LCQ trying to queue for this Pro Tour this weekend, this might help you kind of get our thoughts on what's going on with those decks. And it's also kind of harkening back to the way where we used to do power rankings. And traditionally, we actually didn't really do power ranking episodes on the Pro Tour, right? Because the Pro Tour actually had 6 rounds of draft. And the 6 rounds of draft would normally like kind of lock someone for a Pro Tour top 8. Like if you 6-0 limited and you have a fine standard deck, you're going to make top 8 a lot of the time. That was kind of how it went. And because of that, we always kind of shied away from that. But for better or worse, depending on how you want to look at it, for me better, there's no limited at this Pro Tour. And that makes it a lot easier to look at this data. So pulling from PT2 and PT1's, only their day 1 data for this, and we can talk about their day 2 data a little bit if we want as we go over these decks. We're going to talk about the 6 most played decks. That's because the 5th/6th place were very, very close in percentage. I figure it's worth talking about both of them. And let's start off there. Ali, Rakdos Sacrifice comes in 6/5 most played deck across the 2 PTs. That was a deck you wrote about. What do you feel about Rakdos Sec going into this weekend? What do you feel about its position in the metagame?
I think I, like, after actually playing the Pro Tour, or the PT, I like, went into this weekend thinking that, obviously the Sacrifice matchups were good for Team Rec, but I thought, Rakdos Sacrifice kind of had an edge, because it can just get aggressive, it can play, Robber of the Rich, and granted, like, the Rexac decks I played against didn't play Robber of the Rich, so maybe that was the downfall. Like, those ended up just being a lot easier than Jund Sacrifice, because they don't have any kind of interaction. It's really just, like, play Team of Reclamation and smush them. I don't think I would reasonably bring Rakdos Sacrifice into a field likely full of Teamer Rec.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like if you're going to play Rakdos, you have a hard read or feeling that Teamer Rec is obviously it's going to be popular. You know, we'll just say it now. Teamer Rec was the most played deck by a lot, and was the deck that put 10 copies into top 8 across the 2 PTs. So, like, you know, it's like 60% of the top 8s are Teamer. So Teamer is like the level 0. It's what people are going to be going after. And it's going to be at least probably 20 to 25% of the field. So you have to assume that people are really think they can beat Teamer. And you're going to have to be hoping to beat those decks. And I think that you can't. It is hard to beat the Jund deck as Rakdos. it's technically doable, but you're like kind of slightly outgunned at every point on the curve, you know? And so that's kind of a hard point. And as such, like, you kind of have to be really thinking there's going to be this big shift in the metagame, I think, to playing Rakdos. So, yeah, I'm a little hesitant to play Rakdos Sacrifice. I don't think it's the worst deck. Like, if you're going to play an aggressively slanted deck, I think you should play it over mono red even, or mono green, which I think is a little controversial. But yeah, I think Rakdos, it's kind of hard for me to pull the trigger on that deck, and I really like playing that deck. I think it's a lot of fun. I actually tested Rakdos Sacrifice a bunch last week.
Yeah, don't have to sell me on one of my GP top 8s. Love that deck.
Yeah. Oh, I have the free tech though, Allie. Are you ready for this? This one's on the house.
All right.
You play Haunted Nightmare in your sideboard, overriding Regisaur in your Rakdos deck to fight Teemer, because they're going to bring in Wolf, and it's just going to block your Regisaur forever because you're not playing Embercleave in those builds. And so the Haunted Nightmare, it's the 4-5 with Menace that puts the Death Touch counter. They're not going to have anything that could the Death Touch counter is going to matter for, and it's just going to attack through the Wolf a bunch of times. It's going to be super annoying. Card's actually just great against Teemer. It's way better than Regisaur. That's my that's the free one for everyone.
All right, you heard it here, everyone.
Card's great. All right, Mono Red is our other 5th/6th place deck coming to this weekend. And I'll kind of take the lead on this one. I thought Mono Red was going to actually be kind of great. In my head, I was like, wait, like, Mono Red's worst matchup by, like, a large margin was Fire's Reinvention. That was just, like, a killer matchup. Big creatures, a bunch of board wipes. Some of the board wipes double as life gain. You have Kenrith that gains this life. Like, this is going to be one of the better decks, you know? Like, I just know this. This is what I thought. Like, I'll be so shocked if it wasn't. And then it just didn't play out that way. And Allie, I'm still a little... I kind of get it, but it's so crazy to me that Mono Red isn't good.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely see the matches where just Embercleave, Torbrand, etc., just like really good cards just kind of end games very quickly and it's not close, but you don't really, when you're thinking about Mono Red, those are the games you think about. You don't really think about the games that they stumble. I think specifically, like, I really wouldn't want to bring Mono Red into a field where literally every other deck except Jund is playing Uro.
Yeah, that's
like,
so true.
I think Uro really just kind of like flips that a lot, especially like looking at these decks too. Maybe not like Sultai. Like, Sultai might be a little slow and maybe favored for Mono Red, but like Bant can play a lot of spells and fill up the graveyard. Teemerek obviously can play a ton of spells and fill up the graveyard. So like, it feels like as soon as you just like hit the one Uro, it's almost just done for Mono Red, because the next turn they're going to escape Uro and then just run away with the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's also, I think, one of the reasons I'd play Rakdos over this deck is Rakdos main decks claim the Firstborn, which means that the Uro can actually be a liability some percentage of the time, and it kind of makes them leave up like negate mana or some way to like interact if, you know, if they can afford to. So yeah, I agree with that. It feels like it should be great, but I think another problem is it's just kind of the cards aren't that good. Like, Steamkin's kind of a good card. Robber of the Rich is like okay-ish, but all the one drops kind of suck. You really need to draw like one of your good cards and have your good cards stick. And if your good cards get Aether Gusted or, heaven forbid, Mystical Disputed, you know, like, it just feels like the game's over.
Yeah, I think the deck, actually, like, surprised by this a little bit, but I think Uro's kind of changed the dynamic of the red deck completely, and I think the red deck is actually really hurt by not being an Obosh deck anymore.
Yeah, do you think it's possible to still play Obosh? Or nah?
Probably not. I don't see a, like, even if you're, I guess, like, specifically if you're flooding out, but I really don't see any other turn you want to be paying 3 mana to put Obosh in your hand.
Yeah, you'd have to be ahead already, right? Because you have to go, like, 1, 1, 3, and then, like, add it to your hand, or, like, 1+ add to hand. Yeah, and then, like...
And by the time that you're actually, like, wanting to put Obosh into your hand, you're either so far behind that you're already dead, or you're so far ahead that your opponent's already dead.
Yeah, that's so true. I wonder if you're just supposed to put Ember Cleave in your Rakdos deck. Just, like, remember that deck that was around, like, the Rakdos Knight deck? That was just, like, a bunch of 1-drops, 2-drops, Regisaur, and Ember Cleave, better known as Splinter Twin. And you would just kill people. Like, that seems like it could be something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe that's the way to go if you're going to be smorking. Our fourth most played deck, though, was Sultai Ramp. And I think this deck is actually not very good at all. So in the attempts of being unbiased, Allie, do you like Sultai Ramp? Is there things that you like about it? What are your thoughts on that?
For some reason, I really don't like playing this deck. Like, I love Sultai, but playing this deck just, like, never really clicked with me. I don't really know why. I don't like operating at sorcery speed, and I think that's a huge disadvantage when you're running into just, like, teamer rec format. But I did run into an opponent this past weekend playing 4 Thought Distortions in the sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you're going that route, it might be okay. You can get your Teamer Wreck opponents. Ignoring Teamer Wreck, I think Sultai is a fantastic choice against Jund and Bant. So if we're trying to beat everything that's not Teamer Wreck, I would be a huge fan of Sultai, honestly.
Yeah, so Sultai, okay. Heard, I think that is true, and I'm trying really hard because most of my games against Sultai have been on Teamer, so, like, I'm trying really hard to not let my biases show there. But on the other hand, Teamer's so much of the metagame. I don't know. I think the difference for me, and maybe this is a flawed opinion, so Ali, call me out on this if you think this is dumb or flawed, okay? Is that while Rakdos, I think, is also not great against Teamer, it at least can punk Teamer. And for me, if I'm going to try and play a deck that can beat the other decks in the format, and I kind of lose to the top dog, I would like some sort of punk ability. Is that flawed? Am I crazy for thinking that way?
I think that's just what Thought Distortion is, though, right?
Sure, that's a good point. Thought is just an expensive punk.
Yeah. I mean, it's also just like, I got fairly lucky in a game because I had a Wilderness Reclamation out and was able to opt into a expansion explosion to win in one game. Otherwise, like, they were just, like, very easily coming back, and with all the, like, Growth Spirals and Uro, they're able to cast it on, like, turn 4, and that can just be game ending because you can't counter it, so.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. It's also so annoying because it exiles the ones in your graveyard too, so your Uro, like, I think it was in your match, like, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I was watching someone else, but, like, they were like, oh, the Thought Distortion, it was, like, going to happen, and it looked like it was going to be annoying, but, like, you're going to bring back Uro. And I think it was someone I was watching stream, because they were like, oh, this is whatever, I'm just going to bring back Uro. And the cards left their graveyard, and they were like, oh, no, like, I can't refuel now. It's very weird.
That definitely sounds like a realization I've had.
Yeah. It's also something that, like, probably worth thinking about, you know, when you're playing, like, I should probably delve my spells away and I'm bringing back Uro if I, you know, I'm doing that. Gotta keep those fetch lands in there. I know that when I've been playing before, I've just been, like, clicking on the first 5 cards, like, my life value is worth more than thinking about this. I said it at the top of the show when we were talking about how you got a little lucky. I do think Sultai is a deck that it feels really hard to win unwinnable games unless you draw your cards, I guess, like your Thought Distortion or, you know, Extinction Event in the aggressive matchup. So I would say, you know, like, if you're okay with that, that's fine. But if you're not okay with that, maybe consider looking at a different deck. Our third most played deck across the 2 PTs for day 1 was Bant Ramp. And I mentioned this earlier, how me and Jess kind of started around the Bant Ramp Teamer Wreck spot. I think Bant Ramp's quite good. And honestly, going into this weekend, it's kind of my second choice right now. Like, it's the other deck I'm really considering. It's quite good against Teamer. And just all the cards are so strong, Allie. Like, I always draw cards. I'm like, dang, my card's so messed up compared to yours. Like, every time. What do you feel about Bant right now, like, after what's happened this weekend?
I do think it was one of the best choices this weekend, especially seeing how popular Teemer is. I think Bant is quite strong against Teemer, and you can tailor it just to be, like, even better against Teemer. I think I saw some data somewhere that it was, like, a 36% win rate for Teemer Rek against Bant, but there just, like, was no Bant. I don't know. I literally didn't see any Bant. Mm-hmm. All day, so I feel very fortunate. And we saw Bant at the top 8 of PT1. I think that was probably one of the best Bant lists you could have played for that weekend. I honestly wrote off Bant really quickly because I don't like playing the deck. I think the gameplay is abysmal, and if I had to do like 15 rounds of that, I would probably like 0-5 drop just because I dislike it, and that's like a weakness of mine, but I really just don't like the gameplay.
Sure, that's fair. I know a lot of people who feel that same way, and I definitely fall in that camp more than I don't. So yeah, I feel that. I hear that about Bant, and it's crazy to me because I love Bant. You know what's funny is that Bant kind of makes me wonder why I don't like Jund in Modern. Like, I've thought that before, like, why I'm playing it. I don't know. It's weird. Well, speaking of Jund, Allie, our second most played deck is Jund, Jund Sacrifice. What do you think about Jund going with everything? Like you said, you know, before there's the big Sultai shift, do you think that Jund will be okay now that we kind of see, like, okay, Teemer did really well, so maybe it makes less sense to play Sultai? What are your kind of thoughts on, like, this kind of weekend thing? Because we heard your thoughts before about Jund.
I still think Jund is very good, even with all the Teemer Rek. We saw Jund put a handful of, what, I think it was 2 in PT2 and 1 in PT1 of the top 8s. So, yeah, I still think it's very strong. I think I would actually argue that Jund is probably harder to play, extremely well than Teemer Rek. I know Teemer kind of, like, puts a lot of people off because there's a lot of decision points and, like, counter spells interaction, but I think the, like, marginal, like, 1 or 2 points of damage in, like, Jund or even, like, Raksak in general is just, like, very hard to see unless you're extremely familiar with the play pattern. So I probably wouldn't just, like, pick up Jund if you're not used to playing the deck. But, I mean, like, all that being said, I think it's still very good. I think it obviously struggles against Teemer. But the Jund decks that I did play against this weekend, I have lost to a Jund deck this weekend. I think you can build your deck to have a chance against Teemer. I saw decks that were playing Wilts in the main board, interacting less at sorcery speed, having more interaction with the opponent. So I think you can build your deck and just kind of focus test the Teemer Rek matchup to help improve your chances. And like playing Teemer, and I played both decks a lot, and I think this weekend playing Teemer made me realize that the match is actually a lot closer than you think as the Jund player. Because when I was just playing Jund, I'm like, oh my gosh, this matchup's abysmal, I have no chance. But I'm like, I was like sitting there as Teemer all weekend, just like getting so close to death at like 4 life or 3 life or whatever. I'm like, oh, literally like X, Y, or Z just kills me here instantly. And like, they just like ended up not getting the card they needed. I'm like, wow, this is a lot closer than I thought.
Yeah, my experience was that, like, they kind of need to have those cards in their sideboard. Like, they were playing, like, 4 Cinderines, 4 Duress the first weekend, and they needed to have those because, like, I don't know. Yeah, it feels like there's this weird perception, like you said, where, like, they feel like they can't win, so they have all those cards, and it's like, no, I think, like, you need to have, I don't know, it's very weird. Like, I think Jund is surprisingly close in that matchup, even though it never feels that way, just because of like how the games play out. Like, we get that weird sense in our head, you know, like they don't look to be that way.
Yeah, you end up just like dying to an expansion explosion and you're like, oh yeah, this matchup is awful. But then like you look and you're like, or like I was like the teamer player in that situation, and kind of unless I got the combo kill with expansion explosion, I was just going to lose that matchup.
Yeah, no, I've definitely felt that sort of way before too. Yeah, it's weird, but the Gen deck is quite good, and I think if you look at the results, I saw some like win rate data from PT1, and Jund basically beat every deck except Teemer Wreck by like a pretty like decent amount on the win percentages. So I think Jund is like a totally solid choice, and I like Ali said, I think if you're listening to this now and you really don't want to play like Teemer Wreck or one of those other decks we talked about, Jund sounds exciting to you or that sort of thing, to really put the time in. Because you can miss some of that stuff. And there can be like a decision overload, right? Like some turns you like have two Trailer Crumbs and you're managing like, do I want to act the second Trailer Crumb versus maybe potentially play a spell or like all these sort of things. I want to use my goose to like just eat a food just to trigger my trail. Like there's a lot of little decisions that you can eke out. And just like Ali said, like sometimes those decisions super matter versus sometimes with Teemer, while decisions obviously matter, you do have a much harder like win the game button that you can just draw and slam. So probably want to make sure you put in that extra time on Jund. But I think Jund's a totally reasonable choice. And I think it's actually kind of better this weekend because I think the Sultai, like Jund was kind of, it and Teemer in my mind are like the kind of the two decks to beat going into the first weekend of Pro Tours. Because Jund had such a strong like first weekend of events, like it did well in the Moto events, and then it did well at the Black Lives Matter event, which had like a lot of viewers, and so Jund was kind of like on people's minds, and so Sultai makes sense at like beating up on the Jund deck, right? But if you're playing Sultai and there's all these Teemer decks, I think it makes a lot less sense, even with your four thought distortions. So like, if that's the case, I think it makes sense that if you're like, okay, it's really hard to justify playing Sultai ramp. You know, if you believe that to be true, basically Jund gets a lot better for this weekend. I don't know if it's so much better than, if it makes that enough better to not play Teemer, but I think it's like definitely a choice that makes a lot of sense to me. All right, Allie, our number one deck is Teemer Wreck, and Teemer Wreck was the most deck in PT1 day one. It was 40% of the field, and its conversion rate made it 45% of the field. And then in PT2, Teemer Wreck was 38% of the field. I unfortunately don't have the conversion rate on hand for me right now. You played Teemer Wreck. I imagine you like that deck. What do you think about Teemer Wreck going forward, like into this next weekend? It's clearly like King of the Castle. Like you have to beat that deck.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely run back my event last weekend with Teemer Wreck, and it's not close. It was just very clearly the best deck for PT1 and 2. For PT3 and 4, I think Teemer Wreck is obviously still just a powerful deck. A ton of people were still gunning for it last week, and it didn't really matter. You kind of just have to, if you do want to play Teemer Wreck, you kind of just have to accept that you have a huge target on your back, and people are going to probably, like, I mean, I played against so many people that had like two or three Wilts main board, and like that's nothing I had to deal with in my testing. So maybe if you're testing, like, just be prepared for that, because that'll absolutely happen.
Yeah, my Teemer Wreck deck has a one Wilt in the main for, like, the mirrors and stuff. Also, I think Wilt's just really good right now. Every single deck we talked about today has a target for Wilt except Sultai Ramp.
Yep. I would also take my deck list and take out the Scorching Dragonfires and put some of them in the sideboard. They're terrible.
Word. That makes sense. I guess I'll ask you this about Teemer over here. Do you like Wolves in the main? That was something we saw some people do.
No, I think they're not great. They're not a main board card, and we saw that a lot of the, like, Team Lotus Box special, and I was just in the Discord, the CFBS Discord all weekend, and the whole, like, meme of the Discord all weekend was that Wolves were really bad, and they regretted playing them.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think I want Wolf somewhere in my 75, but I've been wavering between main deck and sideboard and stuff, so... It's good to hear. Glad to hear that it's the meme. I don't want to be memed on. I want to be the memer, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think Teemer Wreck's the deck to beat, and I think it is really really hard to say anything negative about the deck. With results like this, it's so, so powerful. It has the I win button. It can interact with all the decks. It has a diverse game plan. It has a lot of different ways to build it, a lot of different ways to attack other decks. I think Teemer is the deck to beat. And it is my front runner right now going into the Pro Tour. It is so hard to not register that deck. It just seems so strong, so powerful, and just has a lot of different ways to do it. Just, it's just good, Allie. The deck's just great.
Yeah, I will not complain about a deck that got me PT top four.
Ah, okay. All right. That's fair. That's very fair. I do think it's funny, like, you know, people talk about how, like, we need Teferi to, like, check Wilderness Reclamation. You know, like, you can't ban Teferi because Wilderness run over all over the place, and then, like, Teferi's in the format, and yet Wilderness Reclamation's just running all over the place now. It's like...
Clearly people just need to play more Teferi. I don't know, whip out your Bant decks for this weekend and give it a shot. Realistically, that's probably my biggest... that's probably my recommendation for this weekend. I don't know. Bant is probably good, and... I mean, you can probably just, like, tune it to beat Jund as well. That's kind of the good thing about Bant. Just, like, focus your sideboard, and you can kind of adjust to anything. I just hate the deck, so...
No, that's fair, yeah. Yeah, if you... Yeah, I think Bant, like I said earlier, it's my second choice. I think Bant really needs to kind of know what it has to beat, and if it does, it has a good chance against whatever the top decks are. And if the top decks aren't what you expect it, you're kind of going to fall flat, unless you obviously, you know, play against the matchups you wanted to. But here's the real hot tech. Are you ready for this, Allie? What if we put Teferi in our Teemer decks? And then boom, we have Teferi and Teemer.
That was one of the decks in PT1 top 8.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, there was a... it was, I guess more technically, it was Bant Reclamation splashing red for Expansion Explosion.
Okay, sure.
Tried it out on my stream. It was exhausting. So.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah, I was mostly memeing, but that's cool. All right. Well, I'll have to look at that. Maybe that's the kind of wildness I'm ready to sign up for. But yeah, as of right now, I think if I had to register this moment, I'd register Teemer. I think it's very, very good. And I think that a lot of times people are afraid to play the best deck because people are going to gun for them. I think a lot of times they're afraid to play the mirror. And I think the truth is that, like, there's normally a reason these decks are the best deck when they have dominant performances like we saw last weekend. You know, 6-1 top 8, 4 in another top 8. Like, those are insane numbers. You know, even if things broke a little differently, the other Pro Tour top 8 was probably, like, you know, if two matches go a different way, we still have, like, 4-4. Just an insane number. And honestly, I guess really what's coming down is I'm going to play Growth Spiral this weekend. Growth Spiral's busted. That card's great. So
yeah, you want to play Growth Spiral or you want to play Uro.
Yeah.
I guess my advice with Teemer Rec going forward, if anyone cares,
I care.
This next weekend would definitely build my deck to beat the mirror. I would even, like, hedge my main deck to beat the mirror. I don't want... Scorching Dragonfires, like I said, in the main board. Like, sure, you're going to play Jund, but I don't think that really matters. You just beat them game one anyway. So anything from hedging of, like, if you like Wilt in the main board, that's applicable in multiple matchups. If you really want to hose the mirror, play your Commence the Endgames in the main deck, or just up them in the sideboard. Add your fourth Shark Typhoon.
Sure.
There's just, like, lots you can do, but...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. I do want to say something before we get going, too, though. Because a lot of times people talk about how they want to play a deck that, like, only beats the best deck, right? And they're like, okay, I'm going to play this deck, and it just destroys the best deck. And I think, I could be mistaken, but I believe the 40% in 45 in day 2 is day 1 equal to the Oko PT and just slightly under the Oko PT for the other one. And... this is kind of twice now where we've seen, like, these decks that only beat the best deck, they just actually don't rise to the top. Like, even with, like, Mono Green, I believe it had, like, a 76% win rate against Teemer Rec at the Pro Tour. Just other people are going to play other decks. And I think you're really doing yourself a disservice if you're playing decks like that. You're just going to play people that aren't playing that deck. just not enough people are will like commit to it ever, really. And so, and even if you do, normally, like I said before, these best decks, like, they're going to have a plan for you in the sideboard. It might not even be the best plan, but it's magic, you know, and you're playing mono green. Sometimes you're going to mold a five and not have that good curve, and they're going to get you. So, just, you know, think, be reasonable, especially if you're playing an LCQ. I know that, like, it might be really tempting to play a deck that can, you know, crush teamer. You see teamer everywhere, but a lot of people think like that too, so. Awesome. Well, Allie, if someone wanted to follow you and check out all your stuff, where could they go?
Twitch.tv/mythic_amiibo and twitter.com at mythicamiibo.
Awesome. And they can check out your articles on a TCG Player. Are you doing anything special because of the Pro Tour? Are you going to do like a teamer type thing? What can we expect, anything exciting this week?
Yeah, this weekend I'm just kind of review the PT a little bit, and then also kind of touch on this, talk about how I used Seth Manfield's sideboard guide and adapted that throughout my PT based on various different experiences. Obviously, approaching decks that were not on the sideboard guide, as well as what I did when I approached someone who registered the same 75 as me. Therefore knowing that they are also on Seth Manfield's list and probably using his sideboard guide, and how that influenced my sideboarding.
Those are some of my favorite matchups, when you play like the exact 75 mirror and you both know you play like they have the same plan, right? Yeah. Like, that's so cool to me. I love those games.
Yeah.
I'm excited to read that. You can find me at twitch.tv/TheMasonClark, and you can find me on Twitter at Mason E. Clark. Thank you all so much for hanging out this week, and we'll see you all next week for our Core Set 21 Pick 2 Set Review. It's going to be really, really exciting. So we'll see you all next week for another episode of Constructed Criticism.